Erica Colson's just staring off out the window.
No, I'm reading the reading the box score. I haven't seen
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, let's get this. Let's get this going.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
On go.
He just got to the third quarter.
Yeah. This is a disaster.
Yeah, the eights are probably typos.
Yeah, is that supposed to say 18?
It's supposed to say 28.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even 38, but 8 seems unlikely.
That seems like that would be like a franchise low or something if that was the case.
Mm-mm. Well, franchise low for the playoffs, but not the franchise. Luckily. Yeah. That would have been embarrassing.
Save it for the pod, Joe.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jerry Bass with the shoes on.
That train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to... just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You were listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. Today is April 14th, 2019. This is episode 387, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're going to discuss a 1-2 week for the Pacers, including games against Brooklyn and Atlanta, and game one against the Boston Celtics. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Quick shout out to Mike Gennarino. Celebrated a birthday with him last night. Super fun. Good to see everybody. And shout out to Tax Day. It's here, guys. Greatest time of the year.
Yeah. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles, the 40-year-old John Colson.
I thought that wasn't going to be permanent.
No. We'll see about that.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Quick shout-out to Mike and Mandy Morrow, who just had their first child Saturday night at 11 p.m. I've got a bouncing baby boy and fully healthy, all fingers and all toes, and we're just so happy for them. Also, I think it's Thursday Monday. Drink up, especially after that 8-point third quarter.
Yeah, I think by the time fans will hear this, they'll be nursing a hangover, not drinking.
Yeah, good call. Drinking might help at this point. Fix that hangover. Drink through it.
Great.
I think at this point we have to let the audience know you are not a doctor.
Yeah, the doctor already talked. I'm not the doctor.
Yeah. And from Eugene, Oregon, out west, it's our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, fellas? Quick shout out to Steph Curry, who at the ripe old age of 31 became the leading 3-point shooter in NBA playoffs history, passing Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to retire now.
That happened already. Wow.
Like probably like right now, right?
Yeah. I think he's just going to call it quits now. I mean, he's at the mountaintop. What else is there to do? You know who's number three? LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. He does go to the playoffs, well,
in the finals,
most of the years.
All of the time.
Yeah.
He does. But he did not shoot many threes when he was young.
Yeah.
True.
Before we start the show, just want to remind you, you can support us anytime you shop at Amazon. If you just head to the link in the show notes or go to theunbeatables.com/Amazon and follow the Amazon referral link, you'll do some shopping, kicks a few bucks back to us, and helps support what we do. Three games this week. First one, Sunday, April 7th. This is after recording last week versus the Brooklyn Nets. They lose this one, 108-96. Domantas Sabonis was good, I guess. 17 points and 12 rebounds. D'Angelo Russell, 26-6. Game, the last game of the season. Now that was on a fan appreciation night. So, but it's the end of the season. We're sitting our starters. And Wednesday, April 10th at Atlanta, they win this one 135-134. TJ Leaf getting active, 28 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Tyreek Evans, 27-5-2. Edmund Sumner looking solid, 22 points and 4 rebounds.
And the game-winning free throws.
Yeah. Next game, it was first game of the playoff after the break. Sunday, April 14th at the Boston Celtics. Total score, final score, 84-74. Those are low numbers.
Yeah.
Corey Joseph, 14 points. Bogey with 12. We were fine until halftime. And I don't know. Should we just... Do you want to just go back from a couple shows ago and just clip out the thing about the third quarter that we said and just drop it in here?
Mm-hmm. That seems the most efficient way to have this discussion.
Yikes. 8 points in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're sad. It's just one game. Just one game. But we didn't look good into the second half. First half was pretty good. We had, I think, the lead pretty much the whole first half, I believe, or almost all of it. Then it got away, and we didn't get it back. And Corey Joseph was our leading scorer.
You don't want that to try to win.
What did your grandfather say when if Corey was your Joseph was your leading scorer?
Yeah, Grandpa used to say if Corey Joseph is your leading scorer, you're not going to win this game.
Okay,
I think it still holds true today.
Yeah, age old wisdom.
Prescient, your grandfather. Yeah, this game is obviously rough, right? The most disappointing thing to me is that this game was played at the Pacers' pace.
Exactly,
we talked coming into this series that the key for the Pacers was to keep the Boston Celtics under 100 points, and they did that in spades in this
Harper
game.
Harper put that on the whiteboard.
I think that clearly the Pacers came out with a lot of energy and focus in the first half, played really good defense. I thought fighting over screens, they were the more aggressive team. Still didn't play that great, I didn't think, especially offensively. Had a lot of foul trouble. Thad Young and both Collison were in foul trouble in the first half. But Boston just came out of the break with a lot more focus. Would love to be a fly on the wall for that Brad Stevens speech. And the Pacers didn't match it. Now, I will say that the Pacers did have good, clean looks from three-point range early in that third quarter.
And off.
That Boston really dodged some bullets there, I thought. We didn't make those, and Boston quickly closed the gap and took the lead. And then the Pacers really got discombobulated. It was another one of these situations where they weren't able to get stops on the defensive end, and that fed over to sort of forcing it on the offensive end and taking bad shots and making really bad decisions. 5 turnovers in that quarter alone. Thad Young picks up his 4th foul early in that quarter. We made 2 field goals officially, but really only one went through the basket because the other one was a goaltending call on what was really close to being a block shot. So... Pretty atrocious.
So obviously we mentioned this last week, but Celtics were without Marcus Smart, arguably they're the best perimeter defender on the best perimeter defending team in the league. It didn't seem to hurt him very much. It did seem like Brad Stevens, said, hey, let's go out. We're going to play the first half. Try not to turn the ball over, which they failed out miserably. They think they turned it over 10 times or something. While shooting 33%. But he said to his guys, hey, let's, weather the storm. This is a young, hungry team that plays hard. They're going to, give us all they got in that first half, ride that out, and then we're going to put the clamps down in the second half, right? I don't think he said it. thing at halftime that he didn't tell him yesterday, right? And that's exactly what they did. And, you know, you hold a team to 84 points, you expect to win a basketball game, right? You hold a team to 36% shooting, you expect to win a basketball game. However, minus 18 on rebounds, that's not good. I mean, that's probably the difference in the game. That we couldn't hit free throws.
Well, yeah, no, I think if we hit some free throws, that would have helped, especially when it was starting to unravel. You know, if we'd had a 4 or 6 point cushion more than we had at that point, it might have made a difference. Maybe not, though. This thing just, you know, what makes me sad and happy is that this is kind of what we kind of all figured it would be in both best and worst case scenarios, right? We came out defensively. Eddie Gill called it amoeba-like defense, you know, that we were just on a string and just getting everywhere we needed to be.
But can we get a little more explanation on what that means?
A little bit.
I don't know. That's what Eddie Gill said.
Amoeba. Well, he's like single-celled organisms? Yeah.
I think he's thinking like bacteria. Like we're everywhere. Swarming.
We're everywhere.
Swarming.
Easily defeated by modern science or what?
But
modern science only pretends to have the answers, Joey.
Sure.
But no, and we held this team to 84 points. And yes, you've got to win if you do that. This game was played at our pace. But it was also everything we feared, which is Boston's going to take away our offense. Like we don't have that many set plays, and they figured out how to defend them all, and we just didn't have anybody that could just, you know, be creative and figure out how to score the ball except Corey Joseph. Like it was incredibly disturbing to watch our offense. And I agree that all season we've had these lulls in the third quarter or sometimes it's the first quarter, but in general, we go through these stretches where we just need a superstar to hit a bucket and we don't have it. But this was just such a bright spotlight on that inability and not to have any answer. And this is the stuff we feared going into the series, and it was on full display tonight.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that this team does do well, you know, at least by the percentages, is shoot the three ball, right? And we did try and attack the low post against this team, right? To our credit, we did try and do that. We saw some double teams down there, and we missed a bunch of threes, right? Yep. Clearly, we're not as good without Vic, but, you know, we also don't have Bogey open for those threes. This is a team that they're going to have a guy on him at all times, maybe two, even off the ball. They just know where he is, and they're not going to let him beat them with open three-pointers. Whatever. They came in with a good game plan. They did what they had to do, and, you know, they won. It doesn't look like we've got the horses up front to just dominate the combination of Aaron Baines and Al Horford.
They doubled. I mean, and it looked like both Sabonis and Turner and Thad Young wanted no piece of that. Like passing out, the passing wasn't crisp enough to get around the horn. Like they just looked. We've got to figure out how to deal with. Maybe those three guys have not spent enough time being doubled because they're not, you know, amazing offensive post presences, and so they don't really know how to deal with it. But Sabonis is a really gifted passer, and he seemed like he wanted no part of this game. I really felt like, you know, Turner and Sabonis particularly just didn't want what Boston was bringing at him.
I sort of disagree, but
I don't know. It was a lot of quick passing. It was a lot of indecisiveness.
That's absolutely true. But I mean, I think that the whole point of getting double teamed, you know, like, what do you want them to do? Battle a double team?
I want them to pass it out. And I want us to have a better plan.
This
team hasn't dealt with that well because they haven't dealt with it all season, is what I'm saying, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, and so I think that that's the key thing to deal with between games one and game two.
Yes,
right. I agree. And so we'll see what Nate McMillan is able to conjure in his, you know, putative coach of the year mind to deal with that, right? Because that's exactly what you want, right? Mm-hmm, if you have a player or players that can command a double team, that should be to your advantage, right? Because that means that somebody's open somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we faced this last year, I guess. Cleveland started trapping Oladipo, and it took us 4 games to figure out what the heck to do and never really figured out an effective way to handle it. So I'm curious to see what Nate does, but there's clearly a way, a path out of this.
Yeah.
Right.
We've forced the defense to make a decision. So how do we exploit that? Right.
Yeah. And there was basically no, there was zero off the ball movement when double teams came down. Like nobody cut, nobody created space. I felt like the decision making in general was poor by the ball handlers. There was a lot of forced passes into, you know, people trying to split defenders that just
Boston is way too long for that stuff.
But I mean, that's what happens when you get desperate, right?
Yeah,
I mean, sure. The lanes weren't there. You know, I to Sabonis's credit, you know, I saw him go up against a couple double teams when maybe he should have passed out. And to be truly dominant, he has the size and the skills in the low post to be dominant. I'm fine with those plays, but, you know, those shots weren't going down any more than any of our other shots were going down, right? But he has to go up and challenge and demand those double teams, and he did that. You know, I agree. His passing is there. His IQ is there. It'll get better. And you're right. He hasn't seen a lot of it, especially in the playoffs, on the road, in one of the toughest places in professional sports. So, yeah, there's going to be a little
bit long day.
There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for, you know, a 22-year-old kid. Like, I get that. That's all fun.
No, I'm not, I don't want to shit on Sabonis or Turner. I just, I mean, like, they just had rough days. I wanted them to.
Right.
You know, well, one of the things we wanted for the series. Yeah.
Right. Everybody did, though. And, you know, right. And one of the things that Turner can do, he has length and athleticism. Look, Al Horford, excellent player. But he doesn't have the hops. We should have some lob looks with Miles Turner. That is something we should be able to take advantage of.
Not in our playbook. Right? We've not had it all season long.
It's time to put it in the playbook, right? And, you know, we've got to, you know, the first time I think Tyreek and Domus were on the floor together, Reggie said, you know, got to run the offense through Domus. And what happens? Yep. Tyreek passes it to Corey Joseph. Corey Joseph passes it back, and Tyreek throws up a garbage shot. Yep. Domus never touches the ball in the possession, right? These are easily fixable things, right? But I mean, we shouldn't even have to fix them. Those should have already been integrated into our game plan, right?
That's right.
We had a whole season to figure this stuff out.
Yeah. Well, we've got 3 games worth of losses against this team for film.
Right. That's we know we were going to play them for the last 2 weeks as well.
Exactly.
That's right. And I mean, the frustrating thing is that adjustments were made on the defensive end, right? You know, so we talked about last week, like, what do? You put Wes Matthews on Kyrie Irving, and you switch Darren Collison onto Jaylen Brown, and that strategy is what they came out of the gate doing. Not only that, but they also changed to doing more switching on the perimeter, right? That's something that the Pacers team does not usually do.
Right.
So it's frustrating as a fan that you know, Nate and his staff are capable of predicting that, okay, we're going to change things up on one end of the floor because they've seen us a lot, right? And so we need to change this around. But then on the other side of the floor, there's just no... It's like, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. We'll just run the same crap. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't
we've run this 10 times. It worked twice, but third time's the charm.
Right.
Well, and one of the things that I, you know, we've done pretty effectively all season long is exploiting mismatches. And I didn't feel like, and maybe because it started to unravel, but I felt like there were real opportunities to attack those, and we just seemed not able to capitalize on those, which is one of the strengths of our offense.
Well, I think part of that was Collison got in foul trouble and didn't play. I don't know how many minutes he ended up playing, but he wasn't on the floor for
25 minutes.
Crucial stretches, right? And he's, you know, the most cerebral ball handler that we have. He tends to get people in good positions.
Probably the most cerebral player we have.
Right. And then I felt like, you know, we've got to figure out a way to get Bogdanović loose. Like, I mean, you know, at some level in the NBA, you got to have your scorer score baskets, right? And, you know, he picked up some points in really garbage time. But up till that point was, I think he was 2 of 8 through the third quarter, with 4 points or something like that.
5, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's just unacceptable, you know? So you got to figure out a way to get him, involved.
Yeah. And to DC's credit, I mean, even after he was in foul trouble, he was on the bench. He's on his feet, yelling at these guys, cheering them on. I mean, he's just a great teammate. You know, obviously the foul trouble is unfortunate, but he, you know, he was doing what he could out there for his team. When I think about our coaching methodology and the exploitation of mismatches, I think about one-on-one and, you know, taking advantage of switches. And that all is going to basically rely on, a one-on-one isolation sort of game. I feel like that's our go-to thing, right? We want to make them switch and then isolate them in the low post. And Boston knows what to do with that.
Right.
And they've got five guys on the court who know how to rotate and, you know, get it
done. They're all like, pretty big. They're all pretty long.
Exactly. I mean, Al Horford stuck DC on a mismatch early in the game. Just absolutely, just some excellent defense from the big fella, right? And that's the kind of team they have. Like, these guys can all defend five positions, with the exception of Kyrie Irving, right? So it's not enough to say, well, we got a tall guy and a small guy, let's get her done. You know, we've got to be able to do a little bit more than that. That's, you know, I didn't see much in this game plan that
we have that like six offensive sets. That's all we've had all year. And they took all those away and we had nothing else except dribble handoffs from Sabonis with guards coming off the pick. Like, that's, and it didn't work. We weren't open.
Yeah. I mean, there have to be counters to the counter that they put forth, right? Like, you know, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, you know that they're going to try something different defensively against you in these situations, or defend them at the top of their ability. And so how do you counteract that, right? And so those types of conversations need to be in place before game one, right? In my mind. I don't know.
I'm honestly... You know,
maybe I'm just expecting too much.
No, I think you are.
Professional basketball players. Yeah.
No, I think the team should be proud of the way they played defensively, the way they kept this team to 84 points. I think if you were to tell me that Kyrie Irving was going to go 6-17 and only score 20 points, I'd say we had a pretty good shot at winning this game. You know.
Well, that's right. So that's the hard thing, right? Because blowouts happen in the playoffs. We've been through this before, and the nice thing about the playoffs is it's just one game, right? Sure. And if you look in the totality of the series, like, we're not meant to win game one anyway, right? So we're in the same place that we are. What hurts is that this was the style of game that we are capable of winning.
This is what we drew up.
Awesome, right, exactly. Right? Exactly. You limit their best player to 20 points, and you know, hold them to under 40% shooting. That's a game that you expect to win. Right?
Yeah. They also had two bench guys in double figures, 20 from Marcus Morris and another 10 from Gordon Hayward. The depth of this team, even without Marcus Smart, is just
every time Morris comes out, you got to just put TJ Leaf on him and just say, I want to know his flavor of bubblegum or whatever that Hoosiers scene is. I want TJ Leaf to be the Marcus Morris stopper.
Yeah, I mean, he saved them in this game. Like, the Pacers were going to extend that to a 20-point lead in the first half.
We were up, what, 11? And
he just started making ridiculous threes. Right. And,
yeah.
Well, so, I mean, yeah, going forward, you know, game two is Wednesday. Is that right?
Correct.
Again, in the Boston Garden. We'll see what adjustments there will be. You know, like, this isn't a thing where you can just say, well, we just need to play harder. Like, I think this really is going to require some level of fundamental reorganization of strategy.
These guys played really hard.
On the offensive end of the floor. Yeah.
You know, they put in a lot of effort. Yeah. It's a long. That's Wednesday. That's a long time to lick your wounds, especially if you know if you can come up with something else. But I don't know what else we got. We got to have something, right? What's our next? What's our next best plan? I mean, because we probably out hustled them at least in the first half for sure, until the fourth quarter when we started a little defeated, but.
Well, you know, there's a couple things.
They're more talented.
Yeah. But, you know, there were good things that happened in this game. You know, in the first half, we did a great job of turning them over and scoring points in transition. That's going to be something that we need to do for 48 minutes.
For sure.
You know, we were negative 18 on the glass. That's got to change. You know, we're going to have to be back, you know, rebounding with five guys. You know, if we turn them over and get points, that's great. But we can't be cheating, giving up rebounds to open up the transition game. We just can't do it. We got manhandled on the glass, and we got to fix it.
I would have been okay with that if we'd been able to stop them in transition. Like, they scored 24 points on transition offense. You know, you either give one or the other, and we sort of gave both.
Yep. I don't right now know. Look, Corey Joseph is he's a really hard-nosed player, and I like that. But I feel like it's time for Aaron Holiday. Like, we just need somebody out there who's going to be able to score some points. And we know that Aaron Holiday can defend.
In the third quarter. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Corey Joseph hit, you know, 1-3 sort of against the shot clock. And I think that was in the third. And
end
I was
of the
hoping
second.
That,
yeah.
End of the second. And I was hoping that would maybe break him out and maybe he'd see, you know, see one go through and it would turn around. It didn't. So I think that Aaron Holiday, it's not just good for Aaron Holiday at this point. We just need that catalyst for this team, right? And we're going to have to find ways to keep Miles Turner involved for 48 minutes. Eight shots is not going to be enough. You know, we're going to have to find ways to get shots close to the basket, even if they are well defended. I mean, those are just going to be higher percentage shot for us against this team. And you know, it's easy enough to tell our guys, you know, hey, some of those three-pointers are going to go down. It's going to be different in the next game. But that's not enough, right? We've got to build on the things that we did well and correct the things that we did poorly. And, you know, there's plenty of room for improvement here, but, you know, there's also plenty to build on.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think, you know, I am curious. One of the sort of silver linings, if you will, of Thad getting into foul trouble is that we got a lot more Turner Sabonis minutes on the floor. But surprisingly to me, they were not super effective in those minutes. And I'm not sure if why that was. Because in the past, they've been very effective against this Boston team. I don't know if things were just discombobulated or... you know, it was Collison was also in trouble, so in foul trouble. So it was Corey Joseph handling the ball, or Tyreek Evans, who was, by the way, I thought I liked his aggressiveness in the first half at least. This is his first playoff experience, if I'm
no,
correct. He played for New Orleans, I guess, a couple years ago.
Yeah, but they were swept. Okay. So,
right.
And I think he hurt. I think he hurt himself. I think he only played one or two games in the series.
Okay. Yeah. He seems like a guy that could be a big stage dude, and so hopefully that's the case. But
he took some bad shots in the second half, but it was unraveling. So yeah, no, I'm right. I
liked went his alone activity. In that.
Yeah, exactly. I liked his aggressive in the first half. And the thing is Corey Joseph was. I mean, he's been broke for the last quarter of the season. He's been shooting like in the 20%, you know, from the floor, and you know, was 5-9 in this game. Hit 2 3-pointers. But he's dribbling too much, you know, and it's like he's the kind of I know it was because of Collison's foul trouble, but you kind of want to keep Corey Joseph at, you know, probably 20 minutes or under a game and, you know, to kind of let him have his impact defensively and a change of pace. He's not going to turn the ball over, and he hit some shots, but I thought he was trying to do too much. I really would love to see Holiday was unafraid, at least in his one shot that he took, you know, his first moment on a big stage, and he just, you know, pulled up and nailed a three. I'd love to see a little bit more of him.
It's just hard to see us winning a series like this against this kind of team without a true point guard on the floor for, you know.
Yeah, well, Collison's going to be in foul trouble. He's playing Kyrie Irving.
Like, yeah.
I know that we're cross matching Matthews a lot, but I think, you know,
I disagree. I thought he played not very smart in a few situations. I thought he definitely reached when there was no need to, and yeah, I thought the fouls that he committed were definitely fouls and, like,
yeah,
not warranted. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And Boston, to their credit, seemed to have him circled to go at this guy. I mean, not only do you like the size matchup, but also, you know, they believe that they can get him into foul trouble. And we don't have a backup point guard right now. Corey Joseph is not a backup point guard.
It's a backup combo.
So, tipping my hat to Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Boston played well today.
Yeah.
Not their best, but they played well.
Put us in a
We need to hire, like, the anti-Dan Burke. Like, the bizarro Dan Burke. Somebody that's, like, an offensive savant somehow between now and then.
Between
Can
now
we do,
and
like,
Wednesday?
A Freaky Friday thing with, like, Terry Stotts or something like that? Between now and then?
No, the problem, though, is if you do something like that, that they would both annihilate each other as they come into existence.
Oh, it's like matter and antimatter. Yeah,
exactly.
Quantum issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basketball, if you could solve that, then.
Forever.
Yeah. But we don't want that.
But there is a parallel dimension where there is a Pacers team that has Dan Burke, but they're the best offensive team in the history of the NBA. Okay.
It's like, but they can't play.
They that exists. They literally just run off the court on defense, like they're.
You know, I also, you know, I wonder if these guys are just they're working too hard on defense, or they're putting too much pressure on themselves. Because I watched a lot of shots, especially the when Collison gets around the pick and has the pull up when he's got space, and Turner with the wide open jumper. And Sabonis on little bunny hooks. Like, we just were missing a lot of shots. And I don't know, you know.
That's true.
Ideally, this comes back to the mean. Now, Bogdanovich, they were guarding the hell out of him, and he deserved to miss most of those shots. But the other guys, like, they had good looks. Like, I wonder if this stuff comes back to the mean and we hit these in the next game. If we continue to play this kind of defense, like, who knows?
Boston's going to come back to the mean, too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think you've because got, they missed a lot of shots in that first half. Yeah. A lot of wide open threes. Not wide open, but
we've got a situation. We've got a situation for Bogey where Bogey's not been in the situation before that people were game planning specifically for him because he's our number one offensive threat. Yeah. And he was great during the regular season, particularly after Oladipo's injury, but he's not been in a position like this. But the coaches, they need to help prepare him for that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, I mean, to his credit, he played very, very hard today on
for
both
sure.
sides of the ball. And, you know,
yeah.
He did what he could to help his team.
Yeah, and frustrated the hell out of Jaylen Brown somehow. What the heck was up with that?
I don't know.
Tiff that they got into. Where
well, he
Brown
just, I mean, Jaylen Brown just shoved him as hard as he could.
Like, I could sort of understand the opposite, like Bogey being super frustrated right. and pushing him. But, like, what did Jaylen Brown have to be mad about? I mean, he didn't have a great game, but. But he did his job, which was, you know, shut down Bogey. It's unreal, right?
You guys, I think it's time for a break.
Yes, definitely.
Good news. Good news. Sirius Black put out an EP.
Yay!
Yeah! Shout out!
Best news I've heard all day.
So we'll get some effort there. We got a link in the show notes. Make sure to go buy it if you like it. And catch the links in the show notes. We'll be back in a few.
Especially in the dark days. Now I got ghosts in the corridors all day. Walls they talking always. Burnt down the entrance, work from the exit. You are now entering the 13th dimension. And nature wanna come and meet the wrong way. I just wanna make it through the long day. No need to mention, no big succinct. OG's turned up, codeine dependent. Fuck your feelings, I don't feel ya. She
Try and feel me like I don't feel really some. This feel familiar, this not familiar. You can't fathom how we fucking feeling some. Fuck your feelings, I don't feel ya. She try and feel me like I don't feel really some. This feel familiar, this not familiar. You can't fathom. We so fucking happy about this. So low, so low, so low, so low, so low. We so fucking happy about this. So low, so low, so low, so low, so low. So fucking happy riding so low, so low, so low, so low, so low, so low. We so fucking happy riding so low, so low, so low, so low, so low, so low. We so fucking happy riding.
You're back from the break. Make sure to check out the link in the show notes or just search for Sirius Black on wherever you listen to your music, and definitely make sure to buy it if you like it. Next up, got my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week.
So big news. This past week, we got the first picture of a black hole.
Ooh.
They said it couldn't be done.
Somebody got a picture of our third quarter?
Heyo.
Nicely played, sir.
So the black hole is 3 million times the size of Earth, which is
I think it's 3 billion.
The one I'm looking at says 3 million.
It seems like a lot.
In terms of physical size or mass, because it's like I thought it was like 3 billion solar masses or something.
That, well, let's. I'm seeing different. So the thing I'm looking at on Vox, with the references to the BBC, it's saying that it was 3 million times the size, which it would be is not the okay. Like volume, right? Like,
gotcha.
But the mass wise, it's many, 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 many suns. So we got a picture for the first time in the history of our planet. And I think it's amazing. The algorithm was written by 29-year-old computer scientist Katie Bauman from MIT. She and her team wrote they wrote the algorithm that was able to allow this to be imaged. It was gathered, all the data was gathered from radio telescopes all over the world, South Pole, Europe, basically just all across the world, I think 12 of them. And they took data from measurements for about 10 days, and then took a long time to process that data.
5 trillion bytes of data over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, 5,000 trillion. So what's 5 quadrillion.
There's a picture on one of the MIT Twitter pages of she's standing in front of all the hard drives they used, and it's just piles and piles and piles of hard drives.
Smoking.
Right. So I have a small quibble with this. It's obviously amazing. I get it.
It's amazing.
But as you mentioned, all of the data are from radio telescopes. So that, as far as I understand it, the data they collected are radio frequencies, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. So it's not actually...
of different wavelengths.
Because the whole principle of a black hole is that its gravitational force is so strong that not even light can escape. Right.
Okay.
And so therefore you can't take a picture of it unless... So is that what the algorithm does? Is somehow it translates the, I don't know, I guess power of each radio frequency into a optical signal?
So the black hole, the center of the black hole, obviously, a little dark. Mm-hmm. But it does create an accretion disk, right? Where it shoots out all these gases. Things are spinning very quickly around it. And all that gas and heat create a signature, which is visible.
So the radio telescopes were detecting wavelengths in the not necessarily the visible spectrum, but the light spectrum.
Yeah, so actually the
or I guess it doesn't inside, matter maybe. Okay.
InsideScience.org, I'm looking at an article here, says they constructed the first ever image by observing light in the radio wave spectrum.
Aha. Okay.
That had just barely escaped the black hole's clutches.
Okay. I withdraw my
yes.
So this was the M87 black hole. And the orange in the around the black hole itself is, like Harper said, it's superheated gas moving at near light speeds.
I do think we have to put the explicit warning on this show because Harper said accretion disk.
I think our listeners are up for it.
So it's and it's definitely the Eye of Sauron, right? Like,
absolutely, yes, okay. Absolutely, it is.
Okay. Yeah, we're hoping to get a picture of the supermassive black hole at the center of the Milky Way, but it actually turns out it was easier to capture M87, which is super interesting, even though it's like something like 55 million light years away or something, because it's like 6.5 billion solar masses, this black hole.
The one at the center of the Milky Way?
No, the one at the center of M87.
Okay, gotcha.
So... It's okay, so that's so huge and stable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That it doesn't, apparently it made it easier to capture.
So but they are hoping to. Smaller and less interesting?
Well, it's smaller. It's
more nimble.
It's a little nimble. It's nimble.
Harder to see.
It's got that quick lateral movement. But we're hoping to get pictures of our own in the next 2 or 3 years, which, I mean, that's pretty crazy. I mean, we have a picture of a black hole.
I think I've got a picture of my black hole somewhere.
Oh, good Lord. You showed me your cats like 10 minutes ago. So.
Anyway.
Somebody else has to edit this side of it because I'm leaving it in.
Anyway, this is amazing. And this is the first of many to come, I would think. And shout out to Katie Bauman.
Yeah.
Shout out.
MIT.
Shout out MIT.
Shout out astrophysics.
And Einstein.
So next up, we have we got to talk about our first round predictions for the playoffs. We record on Sunday after the Pacers got their butts whipped. So we all know that they lost that first game. But predictions, a couple of the games have already happened, but we will take those into account. First series in the East, Milwaukee playing the 8th-ranked Detroit Pistons. They have not played a game yet. So what do we got for our predictions? JT, what do you got for this one?
Sweep it.
Sweep it?
Detroit is not a playoff team, and Milwaukee is very, 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 very good. And they have the best player who's on the biggest stage and wants to make a statement. Yeah, I don't think – is Blake Griffin going to play any games at all in this series? If not, then it's definitely a sweep. Oh, if he plays
– Yeah, without Blake Griffin, they have zero chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, or uncertain status at this point.
Something sub 1% for sure.
Harper?
I'm not going to get cute with it. I also have a Milwaukee sweep. They shouldn't lose a game to that team. They just shouldn't.
I'm going to... I don't care. It's sweep.
Okay. I'm going to be bold and give him the gentleman's sweep. With one game.
Good work.
Because you like Detroit?
No, I mean the only thing is, like, you know, Milwaukee. This is their first.
True.
You know, their first series is being in this stature, but I mean, Detroit's not the one that's going to smack him into place, but, you know.
Yeah. If no one else had done it, I would have done it. Way to go, Joe.
Yeah. Second matchup in the East, the Toronto Raptors versus the 7th-ranked Orlando Magic. We watched game one yesterday, and we saw playoff DJ Augustine, who is apparently better than playoff Kawhi Leonard. Dagger on the road. Augustine wins the game. All right. So what do you guys think? Is Orlando going to sweep this? Here's the thing. Toronto, they traded away their best player. They fired their coach because of these exact problems, and they didn't go away. I feel like the problem is somewhere else.
What?
Maybe the country?
The city? The country. Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just no bad ideas.
I mean, Canadians are just too nice. They don't want their guests to leave feeling unsatisfied, so they just give them game one. They're like, here, have this.
Kyle Lowry was there in spirit. I guess he was on the floor, but he was not good.
He was doing Kyle Lowry things in the playoffs.
Just disappearing.
Yeah, 0 points.
Going to grab his guests another drink from the kitchen or something.
Yeah.
Wow. Look, Kyle Lowry's still a good player. Whatever. He's in a better position with this team, at least from a basketball perspective, that he doesn't need to carry the load. Kawhi was really good in this game. Mm-hmm. Gasol, really good, and a really good pickup. And Kyle Lowry is, you know, going to have a couple games. Probably not the guy you want to have the ball down the stretch, but that's why you have Kawhi. I thought Clifford did a really smart thing and letting his guys just play it out, not calling a timeout with 10 seconds left to go in the game in a tie game. He didn't let that team set up its defense. It led to a DJ Augustine shot that I was not super confident was going down, but it did, and that's a dub. I don't know. Orlando played a heck of a game. They're not the better team, but they're riding high and super confident. I still think they go down at 6, though.
Mm. Coulson?
Call the sweep for the Raptors.
Yeah. I think the only concern is that the Toronto starts sort of panicking because they always lose. They always lose at home, and they always lose game one, and they end up losing series. I mean, last year they got swept, by LeBron and the Cavs. You're right. Orlando's not the better team. DJ Augustine played for the Pacers, and if he'd given us anything in the playoffs, we could have beat Miami and gone to the finals. I don't
lay off your Augustine
hate. Shade.
I'm just saying, like I just don't believe this dude can do this for.
If our backup point guard was our problem, then
no. Our problem that year was our bench. We had nothing. We had like one of the best 5-man starting lineups in the history of the NBA, and we had nothing off the bench. And he was our point guard. If he'd given us even half of what he gave last night, we would have gone to the finals. Anyway, besides that. I don't think he can do this for 7 games. They don't have enough talent. They do give.
He could do it for 28 games when they go to the finals.
They do give Toronto problems with Jonathan Isaac and Aaron Gordon. They've got size to match Kawhi Leonard and Siakam, but I think ultimately. The talent wins out here unless there's some sort of internal panic. I just don't think there will be because basically this is a new team outside of Kyle Lowry. Right. And I think this team ends up winning this in 6. I agree with you, Harper.
Yeah. If it was last year, I'd say Toronto in 7. But this is a different team.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it is a different team, but it's also a rookie coach. It's a lot of guys that haven't been on the stage in the spotlight,
certainly not together,
right?
But they got Danny Green and Marc Gasol.
They just have so much talent.
Kawhi Leonard, they've got guys that have been there before, you know.
That's exactly right, and I think that those guys will take over in the locker room. I'm going to take Toronto in 5. I think this is
that seems truthy.
This is a what do they call it? A douchebag sweep?
Yeah, they do call it that.
Win the first game, or you lose the first game, and then win the next four.
Yeah. And Pascal Siakam is just a bruiser, man. That kid, he's so good.
Joey, who you got?
I'm doing it. Magi and seven.
No, oh,
on the goodness. Road.
Yeah, of course on the road. They can't win that at home.
Oh, they can't win it on the road. Game one to the contrary. That is bold. That's a bold.
I think I'm going. Can I change my? I'm going to go with Jason.
No,
I'm changing mine. I think it's five games. I think this is over.
You're going from your switch up here is from six to five.
Yeah.
As soon as I give my thing, you go the other direction.
Yeah, I did. I was like, yeah, Joey's so wrong that it's talked me into the other way.
This might be a good time to bring up, if memory serves, the Pacers won 48 regular season games this year.
Correct. Okay.
And I believe that Joey called that on the head in the preseason.
Mm. Boom, 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 boom.
So I will not go against you, Joey.
Yeah. Smart move.
You're going to change your pick to Orlando in seven?
I will not.
I'm gonna bid $1. Okay. That's all I know.
You're gonna bid $1.
All right. Next series, the third ranked Philadelphia 76ers against the sixth ranked Brooklyn. What are they? The Nets still?
Go Nets.
Mm-hmm. Still.
Last night we watched an upset. Brooklyn beat the Philly. 76ers.
Watched a kerplosion, man.
Fans, their own fans were booing them.
Yeah, what's that good. About?
They're the worst.
Philly sucks. Didn't they throw snowballs at Santa?
Yep.
Every time I go to a Pacer game against Detroit, like, Detroit fans want to fight me in the bathroom for some reason. They're at my house. What are they doing? Detroit's the worst.
Sideburn. Wait, Detroit.
We're talking about another city.
Cut to Detroit. He's going, what did we do?
Apparently tried to beat up Colson in the bathroom.
We're just trying to recover from the worst recession since the Great Depression. Like, come on.
Okay.
Cut us a break, bro.
Okay. Apparently I don't like Philly or Detroit.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. I don't like Boston fans. I'll just put it out there.
Those who guys do you got in this series, too. Then? Colson, who do you got?
This is the series I wanted. I wanted to play these guys in the playoffs because I thought this was going to happen.
Yeah, three-way.
I wanted to play Philadelphia in the playoffs because I think they're fragile, and I think you could smack them in the mouth, and that's what Brooklyn did. And I don't know that they can win this series. But I like that they're young and they got nothing to lose. And all of the pressure is on Philly because this team is supposed to go at least to an Eastern Conference Finals or it's a total failure. And because of that, if Philly doesn't get this thing done in seven, I'm going to give it to Brooklyn. If Philly doesn't get this done in six, I'm going to give it to Brooklyn in seven. So I'm saying Brooklyn wins it in Philly with the Philly fans booing. Brooklyn in seven.
Okay. That reasoning is kind of weird. I think the bigger issue is that Embiid's not healthy. Because he, when healthy, is going to decimate this team.
He scored in game, 22 points.
Yeah, but he doesn't look right to me. He was questionable up until game time.
Yeah.
And even at that, he drew two fouls on Jared Allen in the first minute of the game. Like,
oh, yeah, he spent the entire first quarter at the charity stripe.
Yeah, that's right. And so I think that's going to win out in this at some level. Not going to win out because he's hurt, right? I'm taking Brooklyn at six. Mm.
Damn it, you guys are both taking Brooklyn?
Yep.
Damn it. Joey, what do you got?
I'm not taking the Sixers.
Damn it. You guys suck.
I think they just play super hard every game, and you know, they shoot well from three, and Philly's got too many demons, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, here's the thing. Brooklyn has been underrated all year. People don't watch this team, even though they're a big market team, right? D'Angelo Russell had an amazing year. Caris LeVert missed most of the year, but he's a really good player. Joe Harris, no one had ever... We thought he was a, you know, a made-up guy until the All-Star game, right? I mean, but he goes out, he can shoot the three, he plays good defense. They've got... I mean, they just... They've got ponies in the stable. They've got a solid young team who believes in themselves and plays super hard. I really like this team.
Yeah. I think they win the coaching matchup too. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Are you kidding me? After game one, their coach was Philly's coach is talking about Brett Brown, about Amir Johnson. They're creating their own drama. And like, look, Amir got caught on camera showing his cell phone. Look, big effing deal. Right? You talk about that in-house. You don't talk to that in front of the reporters. That is terrible. This team already has chemistry problems, and their coach is exacerbating it. To me, this goes back to the Jimmy Butler trade. Look, it's clear that Simmons and Embiid don't love each other, but Jimmy Butler is the thing that blew up this team. And they don't know who's supposed to win this game for them. Now, that said, they have even better, younger, bigger, stronger, faster ponies in their stable.
Right.
And I don't know. This is going to be a rock fight. I think it goes seven, but I think Philly pulls it out.
That's fair. Okay. I think talent-wise across the board, they do have a better team. But I think they're getting the Butler treatment here. And I think here's what I can do, Harper. I can go equally crazy as Colson. I would say they'll win. Brooklyn will win in seven on the road. That means Colson's going to have to move his pick to something more reasonable.
Well, I think he actually made two picks there. It was like an if-then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. If Philly can't close it out in six, then Brooklyn wins in seven.
So you got Philly in six. He's locked in. Let's move on.
Okay.
Damn it. Okay, I'll take Philly in six.
You know, because I did that to you, that's actually what's going to happen.
I know. Philly will win in six, and Joey's going to take Brooklyn in seven.
Wow. Did we just conspire to move his pick?
Yeah, and it worked.
Yeah, I wrote it down already. It's changed.
Yeah. Jason documented, so we're good to go. Yeah.
So that must mean it's true.
Yeah.
The end of the Eastern Conference 4-5 matchup. Of course, the Boston Celtics against your Indiana Pacers. We just watched the Pacers get smacked.
Pacers on five.
Badly. With the douchebag sweep. All right.
I feel like I already made a prediction on this.
Yeah, didn't we already do this?
Yeah.
Probably. And it wasn't Pacers on five.
So wait, you said Indy and seven. You were the only one that took Indy, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. I was the only one. I took Boston in six,
And I took Boston in five, and I'm sticking with that.
I forget what I said.
I think you said in six as well.
Okay.
I don't know. There's tape. What's written maybe you down said in seven. Overrules the tape. But
I think I did say a seven.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Western Conference. Golden State Warriors against the number 8 LA Clippers. And game one was Saturday evening, and Clippers held them for a while, but could not hang on for the rest of the game. Golden State wins. They're up 1-0. I'll just go ahead and get this out there. I think this is going to be a regular sweep by douchebags, but
yeah, no, well put. I've never liked this team less than I do right now. I do not like the Golden State Warriors right now. But they're
phenomenal.
Win.
Yeah.
No, they're going to win going away. They've got the five best players on the floor. So.
Right.
Yep. I'm right there with you. This is going.
No argument. This is sweet.
Four.
I'll take five if all you guys are going four. I'm just giving. I'll give away some points on that.
Sure.
They deserve to lose one because I hate them.
No, and the Clippers are well coached and play super hard, and you want to sort of see them win one, but man, the Warriors just have too much. I appreciate that you go with that, Harper. I want to see them win one. I want to
see them win
like
four.
Yeah, like Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams just like blow up for 30 apiece and just
yeah. You know I don't like a team when I'm rooting for another LA team to beat them.
The second, the 2-7 matchup, Denver Nuggets versus San Antonio Spurs. Of course, Spurs pick up game one because that's what they do.
Go Spurs, go!
Go Spurs, go! I'm going to go first. I think the Spurs are going to take this one in six at their home. Harper, what do you think?
I think there's going to be a really competitive series. I just really like a lot about both of these teams. I think it goes seven, and man, I don't know. Flip a coin. I'll take Denver.
Because the whole court, is that one?
Sure. I flipped a coin.
Sure.
If you'd flipped it at altitude, it would have gone the other way. Then.
That's right.
Is that what altitude works?
Yeah. I mean, this series has the classic attributes of like a team that has no playoff experience against a organization that is the epitome of playoff success, right? In the San Antonio Spurs, and tons of veteran guys on that team. It somehow this year again pulled out 40 high 40s in wins, despite losing their point guard before the season started and whatnot. Denver, super good all year, but struggling of late. And after losing game one, I worry about their confidence. That being said, I think they're the more talented team. I think they'll figure this out. I think that San Antonio has limitations on the offensive end that Denver will eventually be able to exploit. And I'm
potentially on the defensive end, too.
That's right. So I'm going to take Denver in six.
Yeah. Jokic triple dubbed and they lost.
Just say, I think.
Triple dubs a win do not make, I think is what they say.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my grandfather used to say.
Yeah, I think Shakespeare came up with that.
That's where my grandfather got it from, I think.
Or falconry. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Coleman, who you got in this?
I think it's one of those situations where I agree that Denver's more talented. I think they figure it out. But then Pop is a crazy genius, and he makes an adjustment and figures out how to win it at home in six.
All right, so you're taking my pick.
Yep.
3-6, the Portland Trailblazers versus the Oklahoma City Lightning or whatever they are. So they have not played yet.
They're
playing right now.
Blazers are winning with 5 seconds left. They're up five, so Blazers win game one.
Okay.
Unless something crazy happens.
Did Russell Westbrook get a triple-double and they still lost? I hope that's what happened.
Find out.
Anyway, I'm going to take...
10 points. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and they still lost.
I know him so well.
Yeah, you do.
It's all that matters.
Paul George,
I'll take...
0 assists, 26 points. You're welcome.
I'll take the Blazers in this one. I'll take up in five.
Whoa!
I like it.
Without Nurkic and with a banged up CJ McCollum.
Yep.
All right.
Colson?
Oh, man, I love Portland. Damon Lillard's one of the most electric players in the
game. He's got the Thunder in six.
This pains you, doesn't it?
I can't root for Paul George, and I like rooting for Portland. I just think this is going to be really competitive and really close, and I think the Nurkic thing really hurts them. But they somehow carved out the third seed still somehow. I'm going to go Portland's got home court. I'm going to go Portland in seven.
Okay.
I'll be the asshole here. I think that and I'm doing this for you, Poyland. I think OKC just has more talent. And playoff P, I mean, as we know, you know, playoff P is a force.
Sure.
I'm going to take OKC in six.
Harper, it's you.
That's what I had. I mean, I hate to say it, but I just... Portland's got a bad taste in their mouth after last year's playoffs, for sure. They're nicked up all over. OKC just has... Portland, in order to win this series, needs, you know, 60 points a game out of McCollum and Lillard, and I just don't think against that defense that they're going to be able to continue to do that. Mm-hmm. I'll take OKC in seven.
Split
in the Rose Garden,
and also in the hope that, you know, if there's one thing we know about my analysis, the exact opposite of what I say is usually true.
So for sure, this is your duty as a loyal fan.
Probably a sweep for Portland based upon that analysis. Right.
There you go. The last matchup in the West, the number four Houston, John Colson's favorite Rockets. And the Utah Jazz at five. I think they're playing this evening. 4-5. I don't know about this one. I'm gonna wait for another few seconds till I get my final analysis in. I'm waiting on my supercomputer. Jason, who you got?
This is interesting. Houston blew a game against OKC last day of the regular season to fall from second seed to fourth seed, and now they have to play a super tough Utah team that has been playing well over the last half of the season. I think they're, 29-16 or something like that.
Yeah.
Similar to last year. Started out slow, but then picked it up. James Harden obviously been doing historic things, scoring the basketball. It's early in the playoffs, so Chris Paul is still healthy. That helps Houston a lot.
That will change.
It's going to be tough for Houston to win games in Utah, but they have home court advantage. So I am leaning towards Houston, but I think this goes the distance. So Houston in seven is where I'm at.
Houston in seven.
Yeah.
Colson.
You know, I like the Jazz. Gobert is defensive force. Donovan Mitchell's been really good the last third of this season. But Harden is still playing historic basketball. We've still got Chris Paul. And Utah's relatively young still. They don't have the experience, I think, that Harden and Chris Paul have. I think this thing goes six, and I think the Rockets win it based on playoff experience and hitting lots of threes, basically.
Smash math.
They do hit a lot of threes. Many, many threes.
Many, many threes. Jason, I feel like you were taking one for the team there, and I appreciate you. It's just hard to see how the reigning MVP with a much, much better season is going to lose in the first round of the playoffs. Granted, the Jazz won 50 games in the West. They're a good team. Don't get me wrong. But there's just a limit to what you can do defensively against the Rockets. There is just a limit. And if they are just going to throw up garbage-ass threes and hit them, which they do,
right,
they're going to win a bunch of games. I got the Rockets in five. I think they're going to have a really solid playoff run. Until Chris Paul gets hurt in, you know, I don't know, the second half of game five of the series.
Of course,
whenever that happens.
Game seven of the Warriors series.
Yeah, right.
My supercomputer just finished tabulating everything.
Does Bauman help you set that
thing? Yeah, I was going to say, she helped me tap into use the power of a black hole for the power of good, which is finding out that the Utah Jazz are going to win this in six games.
Yay!
So congratulations to the Utah fans.
Is it based on their top three defense?
Their defense, and you know, these guys have been, they've been good for a while. Yeah. And I think, you know, and look, this is the playoffs. There, it's just, you know, it's a chess match. Depending on, for most coaches, it's a chess match. Sometimes a few coaches play checkers, but right.
Yeah, for D'Antoni, it's Papa Shot.
It's just Papa Shot. Chess versus Papa Shot. And this is where you game plan for, you know, this is, it's Harden's, this is Harden's team. His usage rate is, you know, probably low three digits percentages.
I think it's high three digits.
But this is where you game plan against one guy. And I don't think they're deep enough to make it out of this round against a phenomenal defense. They're just tremendous defense.
Yeah. Are they as good as our defense?
Until the finals, yes, when we meet them.
The NBA's worst nightmare. Utah, Indiana. The finals
on ABC. That's going to be on, like, ESPN3.
That's why they let the Bulls beat us in 98.
Hicks versus Mormons.
What's the last time that anybody's been held to 84 points this season, let alone 74? That's just an insanely low scoring.
You talking about in a half?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm just going back. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. The Bulls scored 83 on March 23rd. But I haven't seen any score, as I scan this down, in the 70s. I'm sure it happened this season, but I'm not seeing it. Like, that, we got to be able to put up some points. That's awful. That's awful.
All right, let's...
The Pistons scored 74 points on March 13th. Okay. It's the last.
Save this for some angry tweets, all right?
I'm so angry, Joey.
Someone teach you how to tweet so you can fill the world with your feelings.
With,
your
with my sad rage.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what Twitter is.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Well, it's great for the person doing it. It's terrible for everyone else.
Oh, yeah, you just don't read the other people's tweets. Yeah.
Is that you just tweet and don't read other people's tweets?
Yeah.
That seems like the way to go.
Is that how they advertise themselves? Nah. Just tweet this into the void and don't read it, what anybody else is saying.
Well, you scan through other things. If it catches your eye because it's so outrageous, then you retweet or comment on that.
Because there's so much sad rage.
But when there's like, hey, here's a link to my well-thought-out opinion on this complex topic, you skip right by that one.
Okay. I'm going to rage tweet outrageous stuff, ? Presidency.
All right, team. I think it's time to go. I'd like to thank the listeners. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's wonderful to have you here. We are going to try our very best to do a show after each one of the playoff games, schedule permitting.
Yeah. And if it doesn't work out, you can contact Colson via Twitter.
That's right. And I'll
he'll forward your tweet to broadband. Bright House, whatever it is.
That's right.
Or perhaps you'll be his first rage, random rage tweet. You could be.
You are still Twitter famous. I forgot about that. You're the first one that reported the TV.
It was the Super Bowl outage.
Yeah.
From 2 years ago.
You probably get recognized on the street for that, don't you?
They still talk to me about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shake my hand.
You were there, man. It was ground zero.
Front lines.
Yeah. I'm glad you recovered from that, though. Congratulations. You can find us on said social networks. We are on Twitter at Undebeatables. We're at Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website, TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us a message. We've got an email address, shoutout@TheUndebeatables.com. And wherever you listen, if you can give us a review or send the episodes to a Pacer fan in your life, help spread the word. Helps us out and... get some more people in on the fun and give us, you know, stars and ratings and all that good stuff. And we got some t-shirts for sale on the website/store.
for a once and always coach, Bobby Sklenard, who I know is somewhere right now being like, we can win this series if we just hit more shots. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
It's just, that's the old spaghetti strategy. Just throw a bunch at the wall and just see what sticks. Wow.
If he was closer to a black hole, we would no sound could escape his mouth. In space, they can't hear you scream.
His internet would be worse, though, which is not... Yeah, we can't handle that.
That's true.
Is no, that possible? True. Could we have worse internet?
I mean, yeah. Not a lot.
All right. Winter is here.